And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Salutations, welcome into RBLR Bucks, the ultimate podcast for all you Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans. I'm your co-host, Musab, and folks, we got a lot to unpack today. After that dominant victory, our Bucks are now sitting at 3-1. And I'll tell you this, only 8 other teams in the league can say the same or better. Sure, we could have been 4-0, but hey, life happens. You know what I'm saying? And to our first-time listeners, I want to give a warm welcome to you. If you like what you hear, show us some love. Hit that like and subscribe button. And don't forget to check out our other social media accounts at RBLR Bucks and our other teams at RBLR Sports. But to our returning listeners, welcome back. You already know the drill. This time I'm going to tell you this, though. You better buckle up because this ship is hella excited today. And more importantly, I'll tell you this. We want to hear from you. Feel free to comment on our live stream. We want to know how you really feel. You know, your thoughts, your questions. We've got you covered. I'll tell you that. Well, it's going to be a short week for our Bucks, and more importantly, it's going to be our first NFC South matchup against the 2-2 Atlanta Falcons, who are itching for a win. But I'll tell you this, we're here to remind the rest of this wild division, there's only one team that really matters, that's the Buccaneers. The good news, you'll get to watch your Bucks during the week. The bad news is, you'll have to find something else to do this Sunday, unless you're going to be sweating it out like me every weekend on fantasy football. Now, folks, they may not be as cool or popular as Rashad White or Bucky Irving, but trust me, they're just as fiery. Coming in hot to my right, he's back and ready to blitz through the stats and tackle the big topics. Give it up for Mr. Zach Blaine. Zach, it's good to have you back. How goes it, man?
Man, it's good to be back, brother. I've missed it. I've been a little busy with work and other stuff recently, so it's just good to sit here and finally get to talk to you guys. I mean, we've been talking in the group chat, obviously, but get to sit here and talk with you guys, all the people listening, and just talk some Bucks football, man. It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure compared to last week, I'm sure you're a lot more excited to talk about Bucks football this week.
Hey, I think we all are. Week to miss, I guess. Yeah.
All right, and in the end zone of analysis and excitement, I want to introduce my co-host who knows the game inside and out. Folks, Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, the mic is yours.
Appreciate it, Mr. Tariq. Yeah, like you said, it was an exciting week of Bucks football. Obviously, good to have Mr. Blaine back. Happy everyone's hope everyone's doing safe still from that storm. I know it's been a while, but you know that stuff's nothing to mess with. Hope everyone's safe and doing okay. But luckily, you know, a little bright spot, the Bucks. I mean, my goodness, a bright spot of Tampa Bay right now. They have been cooking in the first quarter of the season. You know, the first they break it down into quarters, even though 17 makes it so that it's not quite an even breakup. But you know, the first four games we can call it the first quarter. We'll be lazy. We'll round or whatever mathematical thing you want to do. So as you've been saying, 33-16, that was the victory total. Bit of a strange score. I don't think it was scoregami, but certainly up there with uniqueness in regards to that point combination. But yeah, the Bucks were cooking. I mean, my goodness, offensively, you don't put 33 points up without having some really, really great performances across the board. And Jalen McMillan was out this past weekend. You know, they didn't have their third best wideout, but Mike Evans and Chris Godwin really stepped up. And Baker Mayfield, I mean, what more can you say? He's been really outstanding to start the year, and this might have been one of his best games as a Buck. Like, I don't say that lightly because he's had some good ones, but my goodness, this was an outstanding game. So what do y'all think? Is this Baker's best game as a Buck? I'll start with the president of the Baker Mayfield fan club, Mr. Blaine. What are your thoughts on this past week's performance?
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. It seems to be every time he plays the Eagles, he just balls out. I don't know what it is, but no, I mean, this season in general has just been so good for him outside of the Broncos game. So to see him just continue to thrive in this offensive system, I'm loving it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like he has a first round pick center snapping him the ball, huh? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna take anything away from Baker Mayfield. He's been fantastic, but yeah, it's obviously been a lot of fun to watch him and the rest of this offense do their thing this year. Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? What were your thoughts on Baker's past game this weekend?
It's kind of like those proud dad moments, even though the guy's older than me. But, you know, listen, I mean, especially after that Broncos game, to come back and just ball out like that with the rest of the guys. And I just want to kind of give him a shout out overall. I mean, he's working with a different offensive coordinator. I mean, this guy has been passed around like a little rag doll, you know, and, you know, he's led the team, you know. More importantly, we needed a leader, and just in the end, I mean, it just really worked out for the best of us. I'm just really happy. And was it his best game? I would probably say so. One of his best games for sure. Probably say top three. I mean, he's had some other really good games with us, but this was just really nice to see. I mean, I feel like maybe the strategy was different overall, but yeah, I mean, I'm just very thankful we got a quarterback like Baker Mayfield.
Absolutely. The Bucs could certainly be doing a lot worse. Yeah, he's been dealing. He's been doing his thing, and it was a lot of fun to watch him go to work on Sunday. So we'll stay on Baker. This is going to be kind of a Baker-centric first part of this show. I think, you know, there's a case to be made here. I want to give Zach Blaine the floor here because he's been, like we've been saying, great to start the year. Is he a top five quarterback in the NFL right now? Like, at least production-wise. I mean, we're not going to go – you know, oh, let's talent wise, like, let's get in. No. We're going to focus on his production. Is he top five in the NFL so far this year? Mr. Blaine, I'll give you the floor. Make the case.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's not just statistics like driven. Like, I know a lot of people will look at the numbers and he's ranked relatively high in a majority of the important stats.
Fourth in passing yards, second in passing touchdowns.
And he's thrown what? He's second in passing touchdowns and he's only thrown two interceptions. Sure. 8-2, if I'm not mistaken. So,
and he's got a pair of rushing touchdowns. So really,
yeah. So he's just he's playing. It seems like he's having fun, and to see him go out there and have fun and produce at the level that he is, you know, I'm not ashamed to put him top five at this point. You know, outcome wise, I'd be willing to put him top three almost.
Wow. Now, not three. My goodness.
Going into the season, would I have said that? No. And I love Baker. I would not have said that. But him and Sam Darnold have just blown this season out of the water already. And it's I love to see it, man. I love it so much.
Yeah, those two guys and Jaden Daniels. Who would have thought, huh? I mean, my goodness.
They're all happy. Yeah, actually, Zach, I do remember Zach called that out.
That is true. Zach did call Jaden Daniels having an elite start. But I don't know about those other two guys. I don't know if any of us saw Sam Darnold's. Yeah. Sudden Sam Darnold. That's fantastic. But Mr. Treat, how about you? What do you think?
I don't know where to start. I mean, do I think he's top five? Yeah, I think so. I could put him in top five. But I would also say this. I think that, you know, there are many other fans who could probably have good arguments as to why he wouldn't be a top five. But I don't know. I mean, I just really think that he's shown us what he's capable of doing. I mean, I don't think there's been a time that I can remember where, you know, he's done something actually stupid. You know what I'm saying? Sure, he got a little bit, you know, a little bit risky, or he played a little different, you know, with the Broncos. I feel like we all knew that. But, you know, we're not miserable. I know, you know, there's teams out there who feel miserable with the quarterback they have. You know what I'm saying? We're not miserable. And I think we got a good bunch of guys. Our offensive line is looking much better for sure. So, you know, some quarterbacks just, you know, need to find a new scene, and Baker Mayfield is a great example, and so is Sam Darnold. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Both great cases of just, you know, the grass is always greener type of thing, I guess. You know, they're just finding a nice little niche, a nice little spot to settle down, and they're doing some very nice things. So I'm going to be the devil's advocate. I'm going to be honest. I think he's top five in production also. But someone has to play the other side because there are some great quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So he might be just outside the top five in a lot of people's minds. Cause like we mentioned, Sam Darnold, Jaden Daniels has been great. Brock Purdy has also been outstanding. Kyler Murray, I know that the Cardinals themselves haven't been very good because their defense is atrocious, but Kyler Murray's been fantastic. Geno Smith's been really good. Josh Allen, obviously, Lamar Jackson as well. Those are kind of some mainstays in that discussion. But Baker's certainly up there. He might not last because the advanced metrics or the under the hood stuff says that it might not quite, you know, be sustainable. He's only 13th in adjusted EPA per play, estimated points added. because that factors in defenses that they've faced, because let's face it, the Eagles were pretty banged up on Sunday, and they don't exactly have an amazing secondary. Their pass rush looks atrocious. Week one, the Commanders have a horrible defense. So, you know, once he starts facing some decent defenses, it might be a bit tougher. But right now, I'm okay with him being top five in production. He certainly has an argument. But before we move on to some different topics, I did want to give a shout out Chase McLaughlin. He nailed a 52-yarder this past week with a new snapper and a new holder. I know that special teams is kind of lost oftentimes, but I still wanted to give Chase McLaughlin a little shout out there. But moving on to some more, mainstream topics, if you will, Bucky Irving and Rashad White, my goodness, they had themselves quite a game. The Bucks running it, rushing attack has been, you know, much to be maligned, as we say, pretty much every episode. It's looked rough, but it was kind of fun this past weekend. What were y'all's thoughts on Bucky getting a little bit more involved in this offense? That was something Todd Bowles discussed before the game. Maybe not quite a 50-50 split, but a little bit closer, maybe 60-40 in regards to, you know, balance things out with the touches. Mr. Tariq, what were your thoughts on this Bucky Irving, Rashad White combo this past Sunday?
Great. I'll tell you why, because last year it was White who was dominating the snaps, like 75%, give or take. Now it's, you know, obviously we'll say White's leading the pack for sure, but I mean, we're going 50-50 now. It kind of gave me those vibes when, you know, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette were our running backs. I also want to give a shout out to Liam Cohen. You know, he's got some tricks up his sleeves. I think we definitely got a different approach than, you know, what we did last year, of course. So, recently, yeah, I've been loving Bucky Irving more and more. I mean, just on how shifty he is and all that. You know, when we had drafted him, I was a little down, but I mean, I'm really happy we got him, and I think they are a really good pair. I honestly don't think as of right now I'd have a favorite out of either of them. And overall, yeah, just really happy to see Bucky's getting those snaps that he deserves, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. The outcomes were pretty much identical on the ground for both of them. They both had combined 20 rushes. My goodness, math is not my strong
suit. I think they both exactly hit 49 yards as well.
Yep.
I think on this.
Yep, 49.
Yeah, I was like, wow, damn.
Yeah, just perfect symmetry. Perfectly balanced as all things should be. But Mr. Blaine, you're a known Rashad White, maybe not hater, but you're not his biggest fan. You don't like him as much as Baker. So what were your thoughts on the performance this past Sunday?
No, I think I even messaged the chat and I was like, I'm actually impressed with his ability to run the ball today. Like he looked like a number one running back, and God, that hurt. That,
yeah, dude, I was going to say, you must
have right there. No, he looked really, really solid. And it looked like he was going to be able to do more than be that pass catching back, which is what has been my issue. I've always said he's a really good pass catching back. But running the ball was just never – he hadn't produced at that yet, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
To see him do that last week, and, yeah, it was 49 yards, but they were an effective 49 yards. And for Bucky to come in and get his first touchdown and also be effective, it's making me feel like we've got that 1-2 punch now. And I was unfortunately high on Bucky because he's an Oregon Duck. That's why it's unfortunate, but he's proving to be a very good running back, and I'm very excited for the future with those two.
Yeah, absolutely. They both looked really, really solid this past Sunday, and hopefully they can keep that going tomorrow night or Thursday night, whenever you're listening to this podcast. Hopefully they were able to keep that thing going in the Thursday night matchup with the Falcons, which we'll get to in the second half of the episode. But it was such a big win, we got to keep talking about it, huh? I mean, Mike Evans had himself quite a game too. Obviously was locked up by Patrick Surtain and that Broncos defense. Baker just couldn't find him, unfortunately. It was a rough outing. I think he had like two or three catches on pretty much a very similar number of targets. But this week he was a lot better, obviously, almost eclipsed 100 yards. He had the touchdown and everything, which was just outstanding. The Bucs scored on their first drive of the game, which hadn't happened in forever, on that Mike Evans touchdown. How nice was it to see Mike Evans get more involved in the offense again? Mr. Blaine, I'll throw it right back at you.
Man, it felt right again.
For sure.
At this point, 4 weeks in, I was really starting to be like, well, damn, he might not break 1,000 this year if it keeps going this way. And I know that's such a stupid thing for me to be worried about. Like, he's already a Hall of Famer. Like, he's already, the, in my opinion, the greatest Buck of all time. So, like, that's such a silly thing to be worried about. But also, like, I want that record to be just his. So, I'm happy to see it kind of shift back and Chris Godwin not get as many targets.
Oh, you had to throw that little Chris Godwin.
I am eating my words on Chris Godwin this season. I will admit that he has been a stud. Like I'm pretty sure.
I still remember. I think you said under 800 yards total for the whole season. The guy's already, I think, at like 334. I think about that sometimes.
I am a man of my word, and I was wrong, and he's produced very, very well, but he's also had more targets than damn near anybody, I think. So to see it kind of be more evened out, I'm excited for it.
Got to get targets to get production, you know what I'm saying? But
not zoned in on just him, and that's what it felt like. And I know it wasn't, but that's what it had felt like a few of these games. And to see both of them kind of get their opportunities, it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it helps to play against podcast extraordinaire Darius Slay, who later on decided to go on the internet and start just doing some weird stuff. He's a strange fellow. I'm not a big Darius Slay fan, but thankfully Mike Evans took him, CJ Gardner-Johnson Jr., the whole Eagles secondary to town. Although we met Quinion Mitchell's family. I was at the Bucks game this past Sunday, and Quinion Mitchell from Willington, Florida, about 3 hours north of here, in Tampa, and we got to meet his family. They were all decked out, so that was kind of cool. Unfortunately, he didn't have the best day, but that's okay. He's a super talented rookie. He'll be fine. But so shout out to Quinion Mitchell and his family. They were lovely people. But it was a lot of fun to watch Mike Evans get more involved. How about you, Mr. Streak? What were your thoughts on this Mike Evans performance from this past Sunday?
Oh, I'm nothing but just super happy. And I have to say, I feel like just the fact that we were so dominant from the start, I feel like we were just beating them down, by the minute. And, obviously Mike Evans took advantage of the fact that, he had Darius Slay or CJ Gardner-Johnson guarding him. Felt really nice when he got that touchdown, cooked CJ Gardner-Johnson a little bit,
That's right.
And, this is the Mike we know, what I'm saying? So, I don't know, guys. This game kind of just was exactly what us Buck fans kind of just wanted to see. It's not something we were expecting to be. I wasn't expecting it, But especially how dominant we were from the start. It was nice.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't want to speak for Mr. Blaine, but I thought the Bucks would win. I'm gonna stand on that. Go Bucks and everything. But I don't think any of us expected them to nearly double the Eagles' point total. They were out the gate. They were on it. It was not a close game, at any point. It was kind of getting a little leaky there in the second half, but my goodness, it was kind of just shut down from the get-go, and that was really impressive, like you said. And Mike Evans scoring that touchdown, it really put the, pedal to the metal right out of the gate, like you said, Mr. Treek. I love that point. So before we move off the offense, because, the defense played a game too. They had some fun little plays, and we'll get to that in a second. But before we move off of it, Justin School, he bounced back a little bit. It had been a rough couple of weeks. Filling in for Luke Gadecki, not great in the first couple of weeks, but he's on the up and up. He seems to be figuring it out. He just needed a little bit of time to get his feet wet, I guess. But it was nice to see him not struggle nearly as much as he had in the past couple of weeks. So I wanted to give him a shout out. And Sterling Shepard, my goodness, he had himself quite a catch there in the, I believe it was the third quarter. It was a really important drive. The Bucks were kind of trying to answer some Eagles drives that they put together. And Sterling Shepard came up big. The former Sooners came together, him and Baker, doing a really nice job. And Sterling's going to be involved on Thursday night too, because unfortunately McMillan and Trey Palmer are out, which we will get to more on the injuries later. But Sterling Shepard, what a guy, what a job. So finally, we're getting to the defensive side of the ball. We've been talking up the offense this whole time, but hey, they scored 33 points, so they kind of deserved it. But hey, that much maligned pass rush, my goodness, they finally got home. They got six sacks, Lavonte David had two of them. It was fun. It was a blast. I mean, it was just a really, really fun job. Really great job by this Bucks front seven. They really, really suffocated things for this Eagles offense. Obviously, the Eagles were missing Lane Johnson, their starting right tackle, one of the best offensive linemen in football. But he was not there, and the Bucks took full advantage. His replacement, Fred Johnson, allowed a whopping 9 pressures. My goodness. You want to talk about Justin School? Let's talk about Fred Johnson. They were also without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, their two best wide receivers. That obviously makes things difficult as well. So what do you all think? Do you expect this trend to continue, or maybe they go back to their awful pass rush ways, or maybe somewhere in the middle? Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on this pass rush moving forward off of such a strong performance?
I expect this to continue. We have the capability, of course, but will it? I don't think it's going to be always there, unfortunately. I don't know why, but I just think that, we had a couple advantages no Lane Johnson, no A.J. Brown, no Devonta Smith. So, I mean, for that reason, you got Jalen Hurts kind of, a little bit more hesitant, or he's, feeling a lot more stressed out. I don't just kind of want to give those guys being out the credit. I mean, our defense really did just look super dominant. I feel like we probably got that, chip on our shoulder after that crappy game against the Broncos. So the guys woke up. I had called out Logan Hall doing nothing last game, against the Broncos, and, he showed up this time. So it's just really nice to see, our guys, do what we want them to do or why we got them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Yaya Diaby, he's another one. I mean, he's been pretty decent to start the year. He's kind of having himself, instead of a sophomore slump, he was coming off a very productive rookie campaign. No one was quite confident that it was sticky. He had quite a few sacks. I think he led all rookies in sacks, but no one was really sure because of his kind of under the hood stuff that he was going to be able to sustain it. But now his under the hood stuff is great. I mean, he's fourth in pressures, fourth in the NFL in win rate, third in time to sack pressures. It's just been really, really fantastic. So he's been really, really good. And he continued that Sunday afternoon as well. Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on this pass rush? Do you think that the Bucs can sustain this performance, or maybe you're anticipating a little bit more of a regression to the mean?
I mean, I don't want to say we go back to – because I think we had 2 sacks going into it. Like, we only had 2 sacks, so we tripled our sacks
right
total in one game. I don't think we go back to – 0.75 sacks a game.
For sure.
But I don't think we average 6 sacks a game. Like, I just maybe if Kancey comes back healthy, like, we average 3 or 4, I'd be happy. That'd be a lot still.
That'd be a lot, yeah.
So, I mean, if we can average 1 or 2 a game, like, I'm happy with that. It's getting the job done. I'm not necessarily worried about the amount of sacks as much as I'm worried about the pressure that we're getting. If we're, we might not have 6 sacks in the game, but if we've got 7 quarterback pressures, like if that quarterback's not feeling safe back there, I'm happy with that. So I'm not worried about the numbers, but I do think that we can meet in the middle somewhere and live a happy little median life,
For sure. Absolutely. No, that's the goal. An average pass rush would just do wonders for this defense. So I'm with you. Yeah, if they have an average pass rush moving forward, that would be absolutely fantastic because they have had one of the worst in football up to this point. So Lavonte David with his 2 sacks, one of them was just one of the coolest plays you'll ever see. Timed up the snap count, blew up Saquon Barkley in pass pro, and then he, missed Jalen Hurts at first because Hurts hit him with a little sidestep. But then David came back, had a little strip sack, and the Bucks recovered the fumble. It was a huge play, just another outstanding play from an outstanding player who's had an outstanding career in a Bucks uniform, Lavonte David. Shout out to him. But I also wanted to give Zion McCollum his flowers. My goodness, he has been outstanding so far this year. Third in coverage, estimated points added at -16.8, which is first among cornerbacks. I don't think any of us had that coming. I wasn't necessarily a Zion McCollum hater, like maybe Mr. Blaine was. I'm sorry. I gave you the Baker Mayfield show at the beginning. I gotta fire some shots at you about Zion McCollum.
I respect it.
For sure. I was at least, not pessimistic, maybe not optimistic, but I was at least okay with them giving him a shot. I don't think anyone saw him performing like one of the best cornerbacks in football. He's been really, really good. So that's really fantastic. He was targeted 4 times on Sunday, only allowed 2 catches for 5 yards, 0.39 yards per allowed per coverage rep. I mean, he's just any stat, any metric you want to look at, or if you just want to watch him play, he's also been a lot of fun out there, really taking full advantage of his, you know, athletic ability. But now we'll get to players of the game. We've talked enough about this game. We'll finish it off strong. Baker Mayfield is our offensive player of the game. Not really any surprise here. We talked him up at the beginning of this episode, and rightfully so. He was great on Sunday. He's going to continue to be great, hopefully, and he's been great this whole season. So really, really outstanding. And then the defensive player of the game, Lavonte David. Oh, my goodness, Lavonte David. We talked about his strip sack, but he also had another sack that was really impressive. What are y'all's thoughts on our players of the game? Do y'all have anyone that y'all want to shout out that maybe was also worthy of mention? Mr. Treek, we'll start with you, man. Any other players of the game you want to shout out?
No, those are probably my two guys as well. I mean, Baker, how can you not give it to Baker? And then, yeah, Lavonte David, you know, at 34, the guy's, you know, still telling this league that he's a force to be reckoned with. And, absolutely, you know, the way he performed against the Eagles, I mean, that's the Lavonte David we know. I also want to give him a shout out. I'm sorry, I forgot where I saw this, but Lavonte David actually joins Hall of Famer Derrick Brooks as the only players in franchise history with 1,500 plus tackles.
Hey, so, look at that.
Shout out Lavonte David. I think, you know, we needed him more than ever, especially with the departure of Devin White. You know, it's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like the lone, you know, big brother, you know, and he's kind of have to, you know, he has to show everyone the ropes. And I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, these things, the way he performed, honestly, just accumulated to just kind of just show and fire up the rest of the guys, especially that strip sack. I feel like if you're the Buccaneers or if you're the Eagles, you're already, you know, doing super bad. Now Lavonte David's got a strip sack on you. It's just putting you down even more. And, I mean, it's firing up our fans. It's firing up our team as well. This is exactly what we needed after that Broncos loss.
Absolutely. Yeah, a huge bounce back game after that Broncos loss, and no one better to do it. No one better to provide that spark than Lavonte David. Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Do you have any players that you want to shout out that we maybe haven't mentioned yet?
Baker is undoubtedly, like, obviously I'm a huge fan of Baker, but I don't think there's even a, like, he was just out of this world this week. I love to see it. My only other, I guess, what do they call it? Oh my God, why am I blanking on, like, runner up, honorable mention? There we go.
Honorable mention.
Would be Zion McCollum. The fact that he's only targeted 4 times and this is like his come out year, like his first real year as being that outside number two corner, which number one corner in my opinion at this point. But I mean, to only be targeted 4 times in a game and only allowed 2 catches, I think that in itself deserves a little bit of recognition.
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. Although, hey, Jamel Dean played pretty well too. He had like a 81 PFF grade, I think. He was fine.
It was also very solid, yeah.
Yeah, he does a lot of little things. He's a great tackler. He's really good in the run game. You know, I
almost
think
had a beautiful pick six.
For sure. He just missed that one. excuse me. So I mean, Jamel Dean maybe being outplayed by Zion McCollum, but you know, he's still playing really
well. Yeah,
100%. He's certainly earning his paycheck.
Shockingly, like the position that I was the most worried about, our defensive backs. We have the best safety in football go down, and just everyone has stepped up and played well.
Absolutely.
Like, the defense is making me eat my words, and it's irritating me because I think we had a bet going, and I'm gonna end up having to get a fan some sort of gift card for dinner one night. And
right, a gift card or a t-shirt, whatever we decided the reward was.
We'll let them decide if they want a shirt or a dinner.
That's right. Well, if you want
both. Bucks,
yeah, maybe both. Absolutely. Zach Lane, you got to break out the pocketbook.
Listen, I just bought a house. I can do one or the other, all right? You'll have to do the other one. Whatever one they want from me, I'll get you get the other one.
For sure. Fair enough. Well, if you're looking for the Zion McCollum of wardrobe options, just some elite stuff, Definitely check out shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some great gear. Yes, sir. Mr. Tariq, repping the shirt. RBLR, Tampa Bay Sports, anything Tampa Bay Sports related, we've got it. We've got it for you. So definitely check it out. We'll also give you a promo code, Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S, for 10% off your entire order. Since the Bucks won this week, they're also playing on a short week. So, you know, got to give yourself something to little boost the spirits since, you know, nothing to do on Sunday. That stinks. But, hey, you get yourself a little Thursday night treat. Definitely check out the store. We've got some heat on there, some fire gear for sure. Anyways, we're moving on to the second half of our episode. We'll get into this Falcons preview really quick, but I wanted to do something kind of silly because, I mean, there were some weird comments from Tom Brady in the booth. I'll kind of get into it a little bit. Baker Mayfield was on a podcast of some sort, and he was just kind of talking about how the building was a little different with Tom there. Everyone was kind of dialed in, high strung. Everyone was stressed out, blah, blah, blah. So he said he wanted to bring the joy back to football. Tom Brady responded with, "I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. And there's a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day." Very, very bitter old man that still wants to be out in the booth. And I don't know. It was a weird look for Tom Brady. And Baker Mayfield answered a question about it in the press conference afterwards. Came out looking like a stud. He answered the question beautifully. Was just very deferential. He was like, "Hey, we do things differently, but Tom Brady's the greatest ever. There's a reason he has some blah blah blah." Very, very, very well done by Baker Mayfield. But what were y'all's thoughts on this quote? These quotes, if any? I mean, Mr. Blade, I'll start with you, man. What are y'all's thoughts? What are your thoughts on this weird exchange?
I don't have any opinion on it. Like, I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
That makes sense. There's different ways to lead. And I don't think that either one of them are doing it wrong. Brady has the credentials to show for it. And Baker is performing very well as a leader of a team now. So I think it just shows there's two different leadership styles. Well, more than two, but those two have different styles of leadership. And on top of that, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it was a weird situation when Brady retired. It felt like he was being forced to retire. And I get it. As a family man, I wouldn't want to necessarily be away from my kids all the time. But also, if I'm making $20 million a year, it might push me to do stuff I'm not a huge fan of. But I think that his comments were not necessarily false. Not having Super Bowls is annoying and stressful, and I get it. But also, you're not playing anymore, brother. Just do your thing. You could still be playing if you wanted to. Do your thing in the booth. Stop trying to be competitive. It's not a good look at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he went on to say this wasn't daycare and, you know, compared it to going to Disneyland with his kids. It was just very strange. So, yeah, it's very silly, very nonsensical. And they both had a little post-game interview on Fox because I think Brady gave him the Let's Bleeping Go award or whatever stupid thing that Fox has come up with. So, you know, they had an interview and they were both couldn't have been nicer to each other. It was fine. It's not a big deal, but I thought it was kind of silly and kind of funny to hear about and read about. And like, I don't know, Tom Brady just
kind of. Oh, yeah, because you were at the game, weren't you? So you didn't hear it.
Right. Why? I didn't hear it at first, but I saw it and I was like, what the heck?
It went crazy right away. I remember I was watching it live. I was just like, as it was happening, I was like, what? Like, yeah. I get it, yes, but also what? Like,
yeah, it was very strange. Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Maybe you're a bit more invested in this, or maybe you're just as kind of blasé about it as Mr. Blaine and myself. What are your thoughts on this little exchange between the two Bucks?
Yeah, players? I think whatever Brady said was just kind of stupid. I feel like maybe he just, I guess, had to say it or something, or he was just trying to be cool. I feel like, right. I mean, he's just trying to. He's a different person, obviously, now that he's off the field. And I'll tell you this. I mean, if he wasn't Brady, if he was just someone else, I mean, that guy still wouldn't have his job. I mean, there's nothing impressive about, you know, his commentary to me, in my opinion. But I do want to say that, I mean, it's just, what Baker said is true. You know, they're both different guys. And, you know, Baker said, you know, playing wise, Tom is different. And, you know, he had everyone dialed in. Yeah, because he's. You know, he's like that old professor, you know, who walks in the class. And, you know, obviously you're going to tighten up when that old, well-renowned professor walks in compared to that, you know, 30-year-old, you know, TA or something. Not that I'm trying to put Baker down or something, but it's different, you know. So, obviously, you know, I mean, you know, Brady's got a fatter resume. So that's all that it really is. But I don't know. I mean, it just kind of went in one ear, out the other. Saw it a couple of times on social media. I just scrolled past it.
I feel like it's important to look at, too. Like, Brady's always had that chip on his shoulder as, like, he was a late-round draft pick. So I feel like he's always had to prove himself, even though he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I feel like that never went away, whereas Baker has gone from, you know, he was a number one pick to where everyone already thought he failed. So, like, now he's just enjoying playing football. And I think that's the type of leadership that I would respond to. So, like, I enjoy the way that Baker does it more, but they're two totally different people, and I don't think it could be more different. And to see them just like discuss that live in person, live on TV.
No, I get you though.
It was such an awkward. It made me feel like cringy. Like,
yeah, very cringy. It was very much like he was trying to provide a quote for his TB12 website.
Yeah.
It was just awkward. And the poor Kevin Burkhart, the other commentator, the poor guy kind of tried to make the best of it and was like, oh,
is he so stressed?
Yeah. I mean, he was like, oh, the competitive juices are still flowing. And he was like, Brady just didn't even respond really, like, in kind. He was like, yep, still there, no apologies. And it's like, all right, man, like, he was trying to tone you down a little bit, and you just kind of still were hammering that full force. But that's all right, you know, like Zach said, that's the perfect way to explain it. Different strokes for different folks, you know, just different ways to lead a team, for sure. But shifting our focus to things that do matter, the Falcons are taking on the Bucks Thursday night football. You know, it's tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really great game that's opening the NFC South division matchups for the Bucs. Unfortunately, the Bucs are dealing with a number of injuries again. You know, this is same story, you know, same soup, just reheated type of thing. Excuse me, Luke Gadecki out with a concussion again. Antoine Winfield Jr. still out. But the new addition is Trey Palmer. He's also out with a concussion. Jalen McMillan still dealing with that hamstring issue. He's going to be out. Kalijah Kansey's out. But luckily, that's where it ends. You know, I know that's kind of an exhausting list. But with Luke Gadecki out, last week's performance, Justin Skuhl, he wasn't too bad. He was at least serviceable. Did that give you a little bit more confidence? Because the Falcons don't exactly have an elite pass rush either. But you know, there's still NFL players. Did it give you a little bit more confidence in Skuhl though, going into this Thursday night matchup, Mr. Treek? I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on Justin Skuhl taking that right tackle position again?
You know, I tried my hardest to really kind of, you know, watch those kind of things throughout the game. But I'll tell you this, what I think the reason why I feel like Justin Skuhl wasn't under the microscope this time, I don't think it's the only reason, but the Bucs had a different approach this time. All right, they were getting that, you know, those quick screens, quick passes. Yep. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of times they were getting that ball on the perimeter. So for that reason, I mean, I saw Justin Skuhl get beat a couple of times, but – by the time he got beat, Baker had already thrown the ball, and that happened a lot, you know. So, and then the times that he did do a good job, then yeah, I mean, that was fine. So, Justin Skuhl definitely, you know, took a step forward. I don't know how many steps forward he took, but he took a step forward, maybe a little step. But I think that's why I feel like that's why, you know, I didn't think too much about the offensive line that much, just because I feel like we had a little bit of a different approach compared to usual, you know, getting those quick screens, those, you know, the quick balls out there. And I feel like it worked out really well. I saw it a couple of times as Chris Godwin cooking up Maddox on the Eagles. That happened a couple of times, and they were able to get those, you know, first downs instead of like a third and one, or, you know, and so that's kind of the big thing for me. I hope he kind of, you know, keeps on improving, but that's really about it, though. I mean, I don't really have any high expectations.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm definitely, you know, he's definitely a backup for a reason, unfortunately. But I love the point that you made about their game plan changing. They clearly recognized, like, this isn't working. Baker was getting happy feet. He was clearly uncomfortable in the pocket. He got sacked a lot against the Broncos. Not all of them were the offensive line's fault. Not all of them were Baker's fault. It was very much a shared responsibility, but it just wasn't working, regardless of whose fault it was. I love the fact that you mentioned last week he was getting the ball out so quick. I mean, he looked like Brady, ironically. Like, he looked like just really quick, you know, little dump offs, like you said, wide receiver screens and stuff like that, little out routes. And it was fantastic. It worked to perfection. He was doing a really outstanding job out there. So, you know, maybe they continue that sort of thing. That seems to be kind of the name of the game right now in the NFL. That's the big thing, is super low average depth of target. Just reduce the amount of negative plays, you know, reduce the amount of sacks, because teams are playing a lot of the, I know this is kind of cringe, but the too high safety look, I know that's a big hot topic right now, but, you know, taking deep shots just isn't what it used to be. You know, it's not the stretch the ball down the field, you know, try to push the thing, you know, it's that's not what it is anymore. And the Bucs exemplified that. And luckily for school, it helped quite a bit. It seemed like it did a really nice job of kind of, you know, not letting that weakness beat the Bucs too much. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Maybe you're kind of lower on school, or maybe you're a bit more nervous about him because, you know, the Eagles pass rush is pretty much non-existent at this point. They're not doing a great job out there. So what are your thoughts on school going into this Falcons matchup?
You know, I'm excited for it. I think this is going to be kind of a test. The Falcons aren't too much better at getting pressure. I think they have 4 sacks all season. So they're not too much better at getting pressure than the Eagles, but I do think they're a better defensive team all around. So I think this is kind of a real test, and I think Musab nailed it on the head when he said, you know, we kind of adjusted, and that's what I love about Cohen more than Canales, because Canales was – we saw one thing all year. We knew what we were getting all year, whereas we've had players go down and Cohen has adjusted, and he's made it to where, you know, those quick passes, like he said, school could get beat. The ball's gone. Or we're running it the opposite way. Like, it's just – it's good, smart football. And I think that if we can continue that run, then in all reality, it doesn't necessarily matter how good or bad he is. I don't want to take it all away from him like he hasn't improved, because he has improved. But, I mean, I think the biggest part was the fact that we've adjusted the game plan. And I think that that's going to be the key to success until – Gadecki's back.
And we were grinding it out. If I may just chime in real quick. We were grinding it out. We had 10 first downs. They had 0 first downs just in the first quarter. Yeah. So it wasn't like we were just getting a couple of just deep balls and boom, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Yeah. We were exhausting their defense, and I feel like that was also a big factor as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was hot on Sunday, I can tell you. It was brutal. I think it felt like they said it was in the 100s on the field. I think with the humidity and everything, or whatever the feels like or whatever. Yeah, it was brutal out there. They don't get heat like that in Philadelphia, as far as I'm aware. So, you know, the Bucs had a bit of an advantage there. You know, they were kind of used to that Tampa heat. They'd have been practicing in it all week. So maybe that played a good factor in it as well. But yeah, I'm like Zach Blaine said, I'm kind of excited to see what Liam Cohen can cook up, you know, and try to adjust for maybe the Bucs' weakness with the offensive line. We've seen the Saints go out there and do a great job despite having not the best offensive line. They've kind of accounted for that weakness, and they've been able to adjust their game plan so that it's maybe not as obvious, you know, it's maybe not as glaring of a weakness. So I think the Bucs have done, you know, a nice job of doing that, especially this past week. But speaking of more guys being out, J-Mac and Trey Palmer, like we mentioned, they're going to be out, and Sterling Shepard, he's in. So how are we feeling about Sterling Shepard? I mean, are we excited to see what he can do given this opportunity? Because he kind of made himself known. You know, he had a few nice little plays there against the Eagles this past weekend. So are you expecting more big things, or maybe you're expecting the Bucs to still lean into that Godwin-Evans combo? Mr. Tariq, I'll throw it to you, my man. What are your thoughts on Sterling Shepard going into this Falcons matchup?
Yeah, I think we'll probably lean more Godwin-Evans, but I mean – I feel like another reason why we succeeded against the Eagles was, I mean, Baker was getting the ball around to everyone.
Absolutely.
So I do think that, you know, Sterling Shepard will definitely be, you know, a solid contributing factor, you know, tomorrow when we play the Falcons. But, I mean, I hope he balls out. I don't think, you know, he's going to have a bad game. I really don't, because, you know, we really need him, you know, especially with our guys banged up. So I feel like, you know, he's definitely going to get his opportunities for sure. How many? I don't know. But, I think, again, it's just going to help us out. You know, if this guy can, you know, help us out, get a couple, you know, third down conversions just here and there, that to me is just a game changer itself. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're just, again, grinding it out like we did against the Eagles. So I got high hopes for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Sterling Shepard, he's got the familiarity kind of thing with Baker. I know in the press conference that Baker gave, he was talking about Sterling's kind of a crazy dude. He's kind of weird, like just kind of out there. And he had a nice little moment. He was like, yeah, and Shepard would probably say the same thing about me. So, you know, it's an equal, you know, a shared respect between the two of them. So I'm excited to see if that chemistry can kind of come into play Thursday night. Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? You're a big Baker guy. So I know you've followed his career closely. Like, you're probably honed in on Sterling.
I've clearly been a Baker fan forever. no, I'm not, believe it or not, like, I'm not a huge college fan. Baker was one of the guys that I liked in college. Then he went to the Browns, and I was like, I hate everything that has to do with Ohio, so I don't care about Baker anymore. In college, I loved Baker. I liked the drive. I liked the planting the flag. Like, everything about him I've always liked. So when we got him, obviously, that's when I became a fan again. But, no, as far as, like, Sterling Shepard, I don't want it to sound, like, hateful towards – Palmer or McMillan, because I think McMillan is going to be great. I don't think it's that much of a fall off right now.
No, it's a good point.
Trey Palmer played a great game, and yeah. McMillan's just learning still. So, in my opinion, I don't think it's that much of a fall off. So, at wide receiver 3, I think it's not going to change much of the outcome against Atlanta, because I think what he might lack in skill to these younger guys, he has more experience and knows, you know, he's played in bigger games and he's been there. So I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I mean, they are going to miss the Palmer experience with the motions and stuff like that. This past Sunday was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And I'd be curious to see maybe if they implement them a little bit more into the offense moving forward, maybe take them off of special teams, just because that's unfortunately where he got hurt. But you know, then you got to put someone else out there to return punts and kicks.
Well, so, Cam Johnson,
I was just thinking, don't forget about Cam Johnson.
For sure.
I think he had one unfortunate drop, I think, against the Eagles this last game, right?
It was going to be his first touchdown catch, I think, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, he can ball out, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see.
Zach mentioned, that's the good news about the Bucs, is that the fall-off between Shepard and the other two wideouts likely isn't going to be as big as maybe it would be on other teams. So that is very nice. I'm excited to see Shepard go out there and do his thing. But shifting the focus onto the defensive side of the ball, Falcons obviously have Bijan Robinson, Drake London. They've got Kirk Cousins kind of moving the thing around, you know, just distributing the ball, sort of being the point guard, if you will. But Kyle Pitts, my goodness, that poor guy is just non-existent out there. Last week he put up a goose egg in every major statistical category, except for maybe targets. But, man, I mean, it was brutal to watch. What are your thoughts on the Falcons' weapons and their offense in general, and how do the Bucs slow down this offense with those explosive weapons? Because Bijan and Drake London are both quite good, so they're certainly to be reckoned with. But what are your thoughts on the Falcons' offense, Mr. Blaine? I'll start with you.
I'm not sold on Kirk yet. Like, he's 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's still a little bit rusty, it seems like.
Like, a little wonky. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not played terrible, but it's not been great either. Robinson scares me a little bit, but also Algiers scares me. Like,
various
running backs. Drake London, as good as he could be, he's kind of slow, which I think we have the perfect defensive backs to slow him down even more, I guess, per se. Yeah, and Kyle Pitts, as much as I hate it, he's a non-factor at this point. Like, it's so irritating because he could be so good. And I think it's just the system in Atlanta that's not allowing him to produce. So I'm more worried about their running backs, but I think if we can, with Vea back and everything, I think we're going to be all right.
Hey, optimism from Zach Blaine. I love it.
No, it's weird. It's crazy.
I'm sure it feels funny. Yeah, it's fantastic. No, I'm with you. I think that they certainly are capable of putting down this Atlanta Falcons offense and holding them at bay. Because like you said, Kirk has been off to a bit of a rough start. He's looked a little bit uncomfortable. They are still kind of figuring things out in that aspect, with his Achilles coming off that major injury, at his age. It's a tough thing. And, you know, maybe there's a bit of an anxiety or a pressure with Michael Penix right back there. You know, they just spent that first overall, or for not first overall, first round pick, top 10 pick on that guy. So I don't think he was super happy about that, rightfully so. So it's a bit of a weird situation, but Mr. Tariq, maybe you're a bit more optimistic about this Falcons offense, but what are your overall thoughts?
There's no reason to be optimistic about this Falcons offense. I'll tell you why. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Kirk Cousins is just the corporate definition of, you know, someone training their replacement. And I mean, I was worried about Saquon Barkley, but I mean, it didn't seem like, you know, the Bucs defense was worried about him when we played
him. Yeah, big run, but other than that, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're capable of stopping the run, you know, the run here and there for sure. I think we'll do our best. And I mean, I don't want to just shut out, you know, Robinson and Algier, but I mean, the thing that I'm looking for most is, and I want to give a shout out to Scott Smith on Buccaneers.com for this statistic, is the Bucs sacked Hurts 5 times and actually generated their highest pressure, which was 48%. So we need something basically just like that. All right. And I'll tell you this, Kirk Cousins is not Jalen Hurts when I'm talking mobility. And I mean, he's already looking wonky. He's already looking a little, you know, whatever. So we just really got to disrupt him, you know. And if that's the case, then I feel like our cornerbacks, our, you know, safeties can, you know, they can hold down the fort, you know, guarding people like Drake London and Mooney. And as Zach mentioned, or I mean, as the world's mentioning, yeah, Kyle Pitts is non-existent. So I'm curious to see if, you know, he gets his opportunities. I wonder what it is about these UF Gators. It's, you know, first Kyle Trask not getting any opportunities. Now Kyle Pitts is not getting any opportunities. Oh, man, sucks to be a Gator. But anyways, I don't have any kind of big kind of worries. I mean, they have the capability, of course, but so do we. So, and I think the way we played against the Eagles is, you know, now we know exactly how we need to play. I mean, the answers are in front of us, but I would probably say the biggest person in the spotlight is Bijan Robinson. So we just got to focus on the run D more than anything, if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely. If you stop the run against the Falcons, then you force Kirk Cousins into more pass obvious situations. He's not able to get in the play action incorporated, which obviously Kirk Cousins on a play action, really, really dangerous. You know, he's a really good quarterback in that aspect. But if you're able to kind of limit what he can do in that game, you know, that's going to be huge. But the good news is, you know, the Bucs, they're 3-1. I mean, that's an outstanding start to the year. So even if they lose this one, even if the world collapses and, oh my goodness, the sky is falling and all that stuff, nope, not at all. 3-2 is still an excellent start to the season. Looking at the schedule, if you were to tell me that the Bucs would be 3-2, I'd be super happy. I don't want to speak for y'all, but I think we'd be excited about that. So even if the Bucs manage to lose this one, it's a weird matchup. Thursday nights are always strange. You have to shorten up the playbook. You've got a bunch of guys out. It's okay. Let's not get too much in a tizzy over one game, especially a Thursday night game. But I love that they're getting this Thursday night matchup out of the way. You know, they're just, let's do it. Let's, you know, kind of, you know, take that nasty pill or whatever, because it's always rough. So hopefully they can get this out of the way, have a long week of rest, and then really bounce back moving forward, because they've got a tough stretch of the schedule moving forward. But we've got a cool segment to kind of finish out this episode with. Mr. Blaine, give it to us. I think it's This or That. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's something along those lines. We'll call it This or That.
Okay.
Essentially, my idea here is I'm going to give you guys two options, and I want you guys to just tell me what you think is more likely to happen.
Okay, I like it. I dig it.
So, like, my first one, I'll do two of them here.
Okay.
My first one, do you think Rashad White has more combined? Well, no, let's not do combined because he will. Do you think Rashad White has more rushing yards, or do you think Bucky Irving has more rushing yards this week?
Ooh. Musab, you go first, man.
I'm going to go Bucky.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go Bucky. Like, I don't think by a lot, but I'm going to go Bucky.
Okay. If you're going Bucky, I'm going to be the opposite. I'm going to go Rashad. I think that, you know, that 50-50 split, literally 50-50 split in regards to rushing attempts, rushing yards, all that. I don't think it's going to be quite that. I do think that Bucky has been fantastic in the gadget plays. He's been really fun in those unique designs that Cohen's come up with. But Rashad still is kind of that main between the tackles back, as well as being, you know, the third down pass catching option. So I'm going to go with Rashad. I still think he, ekes out Bucky in rushing yards, but I would not be shocked at all to see Bucky beat him out in rushing yards. But Zach, you got to answer your own question, man. Who you got in this?
I'm going Bucky this week.
Okay.
I don't foresee him having 120 yards or anything, but
right.
You know, I could see him having 10 to 15 more yards than Rashad. I think it's going to be close. And I kind of also agree with you. Like, it could go either way and I wouldn't be shocked.
For sure. It's going to be, you know, hopefully it's a nice even split, because that seemed to work really well for the Bucks. Both of them seem to enjoy, you know, playing on the field sort of an equal amount. And that's sort of the NFL new way of doing things. Running backs by committee is sort of the way that you do things. Even with the Ravens, Derrick Henry and Justice Hill are very much sharing time in that.
Phenomenal, those two together. It's insane.
Absolutely. You have to have two. You obviously would rather have one. Both great running backs, but having two solid running backs is really, really an OP strat, if you will, for the NFL. But what's your second one, Mr. Blaine?
My second one. Does Tampa have more sacks this week or more turnovers? Like, do they cause more turnovers?
Oh, okay. Turnovers forced or more sacks?
Or turnovers forced, yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm going to go with sacks. Kirk Cousins' lack of mobility is going to be a big factor. I also don't know that they force a huge amount of turnovers. Like, maybe they'll get a pick, maybe they'll get a fumble, but I think they'll get at least a couple sacks. I think that's going to be nice. I'm hoping Yaya Diaby gets one, because he's just been so much fun. As we covered in the earlier in the episode, he's been fantastic. So I'd love to see his hard work kind of pay off, because, you know, it's nice to have these under the hood metrics, but still sacks, you know, it's still nice to get there. It's nice to finish the job, you know? So
I think
the Bucks are going to rack up at least a couple sacks and maybe a turnover if anything. Mr. Treek, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel the same way, Carter and Zach. I think it's going to be more sacks than forced turnovers. I just think our defense is just going to be firing on all cylinders, really trying to just disrupt everything with Kirk Cousins and the rest of this offense.
Absolutely. All right, Zach, throw it at us, my man. What do you got?
Man, I wanted to be different, but I think we have like three sacks this week, mm-hmm. because for the exact reasons that you guys said, like that you had mentioned, Carter, Kirk Cousins is essentially what Tom Brady was in the pocket last year,
right.
as far as mobility. Or not last year, but his last year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a mobile quarterback by any means, and in fact, he might not want to run at all based off of injury history.
Yeah.
So I don't foresee him being able to evade the sacks like Jalen Hurts did. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll get as much pressure as we did against the Eagles, but I think that we have more outcome on the pressures that we do get. And I don't think that he plays a perfect game. I do think we get at least a turnover or two, but I'm putting three sacks to two turnovers. So, are we forced two turnovers? So, I'm going with sacks to agree with you guys, but I think that it's going to be another close total.
Gotcha. I love the little outcomes throughout. You're getting a little analytical there, Mr.
Blaine. I'm trying.
You're getting there. I love it. I love it. No, that's fantastic. So, to finish out the episode, we'll give our predictions. Mr. Tariq, I'll start with you, my man. Who you got winning this thing, and what's the final score?
I got the Bucks winning this. I think they're going to be dominant for the most for the majority of the game. I think the Falcons will get their opportunity to come back here and there. But I got 27-20. Buccaneers win.
27-20. We heard it here first. All right, Mr. Blaine, give it to me.
I agree with Musab. I'm not on the score, but I'm going 28-17.
Okay, 28-17 Bucks. I'm going to be the negative Nancy this week. I am sorry to say.
Mute him now. Mute him now.
I know. I'm sorry. I got the Bucks losing 23-17. I just think there's so many injuries, and it's hard to keep that kind of frenetic offensive pace up. They were so good this past weekend against the Eagles. That's going to be a tough thing to replicate. And these division matchups are always so weird. I'm certainly not confident at all in this pick. The Bucks could easily win this game. But if I had to, you know, there's a reason we do these predictions, because you got to make a decision. You can't just sit on a fence. So I have Atlanta eking this one out 23-17. But like I said, I very much hope I'm wrong. 4-1. Whew, I love the sound of that. That would be so much fun. And more importantly, the Falcons sitting at 2-3. That is a not a brutal start. That's certainly able to come back from, but that's certainly, you know, keeping your enemy down in the hole. So, yeah, obviously looking for a big win, but I got to go with the Falcons here just because the Bucs are really banged up. It's on the road. So we'll see, though. But thank you all so much for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully I'm coming back next week to eat my words. You know, hopefully we're coming back at you.
Oh, don't you worry about it, Carter. I already marked it down. 1 hour, 1 minute, and 40 seconds is when you started talking about why you think the Buccaneers are going to lose. And I think I'm going to come back to this this episode after the Bucs win and give myself bit of a chuckle.
I love it. I love it. Heck yeah. Gotta mark down when I started yapping all that nonsense. But thank you all again for tuning in. Thank you to my co-host. Thank you to our producer. Give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks if you want to stay in touch. Be kept in the loop, you know, when episodes are coming out and stuff. Also hit that like and subscribe button if you liked what you heard. But as always, thank you again so much. And go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.